Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Music be the food of love, play on, one of the most cited lines from Shakespeare's Twelfth Night. This month, transformed into a musical that is feeding audiences cravings for connection 6 nights a week through August 19th at the Delacorte Theater, part of the Public Theater's long-running free Shakespeare in the Park summer festival in Central Park. This production is part of the Public Theater's outreach program, too. That's Public Works, which partners with community organizations across the boroughs, groups like the Brownsville Recreation Center, the Fortune Society, and Domestic Workers United, to include them in the act of making theater. So Shakespeare's Illyria, where shipwrecked Viola washes up on shore at the start of the play, is populated by some of your very talented neighbors, listeners, including some Tony-winning professionals as well in the leads. I'm joined now by one of those Tony winners, Nikki M. James, who's starring as Viola, and by the show's co-creator slash composer slash lyricist, Shana Taub, who is also starring as the jester, the fool, as they say in Shakespeare plays, Feste, a kind of ringmaster and truth teller for the proceedings. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I saw it last night. I was lucky enough, and 5 stars from this humble audience member. More stars than there are stars. You know, I could interview these politicians, heads of state, academics all day, but then when people like you come in to the studio, I like get the shakes, like, oh, look who I'm in here with. So Shana, for people who haven't been lucky enough to see this, if I can call it like this, it's sort of Hamilton-style Shakespeare. The songs tell so much of the story. Where does this fit in? Why was Twelfth Night particularly, is there something about Twelfth Night that particularly lends itself to being a musical?
Yeah, well, Twelfth Night, the characters, their emotions are larger than life, and it's all about love and identity, and it's so naturally, the scenes and characters so naturally lend themselves to song moments. So for me, it was a fun process of going through the Shakespeare play and finding sort of the heart of each scene and how I could transform that into a song that would help tell the story.
Have you done other Shakespeare musicals?
Yeah, I also did As You Like It last summer with the same Public Works initiative, adapting that into a musical. So I've done 2 now.
And Nikki, I said you were starring as Viola, although you spend most of the play being seen as a woman posing as a man called Cesario. I guess after 500 years, we don't have to worry about Shakespeare spoilers. So can you give us just a brief refresher on why that is?
So Viola is shipwrecked and ends up in a city that she's never been to. And in the course of the shipwreck, she loses her twin brother. And she decides that the way to sort of survive and also protect herself and get on her feet is to dress as a man. And she dresses as her brother. She sort of takes on his identity in a way, both for safety and also, you know, I think in the world, she realizes it's going to be easier for me to get along if I'm dressed as a man. And over the course of the play, she learns that in this costume, in this disguise, she finds a lot about her own strength, her ability to sort of be honest and be strong. And she finds that she can have all those feelings while being herself in the end and going back to her women's weeds.
So do you think there's a contemporary message in that, or the way Shana has adopted the play?
Absolutely. And this is our second time mounting this production. We did it 2 years ago for just a few days over Labor Day weekend, and now we're revisiting it on this much longer run. And I have to say that it has deepened for me the meaning of identity, the gender roles, just in the climate that we're in right now. It seems very, very prescient to think about what it is that we do, how our outside appearances affect both how we perceive ourselves and how other people perceive us. And we're living in a world right now where people want to have those identities be married in a way where I can be who I am on the outside, but then also be who I am on the inside.
And Shana, how much did you have that kind of thing in mind with this adaptation?
Definitely, it was a big part of it for me. It was sort of something that sort of unlocked the story for me and sort of trying to do the thought experiment of why will a 2016 or 2018 audience want to see Twelfth Night, and what will this community of 200 New Yorkers on stage, how can I get the story to resonate with them? And I think what unlocked it was sort of this idea of empathy being a driving force, because what Viola does is throughout the course of the story, she walks a mile in her brother's shoes, and in doing so, learns more about herself and everyone around her. And to me, like, one of the biggest takeaways that folks who participate in the Public Works program talk about, one of the greatest gifts of participating is getting to look at life through someone else's perspective and getting to be in the show with many different people from different backgrounds and beliefs who you may not interact with on a daily basis in New York. And so for me, it was sort of connecting that driving force of empathy that we experience in the program to the story of how, for Viola, her disguise is sort of an exercise in being more empathic.
Yeah, and also how you wrote some of the characters, the Antonio character, which for people who don't know the play, we don't have to go into who he is, was portrayed as gay. I don't know if Shakespeare portrayed gay characters per se.
I mean, to me, it was super supported by the text. That wasn't an idea that I put onto it. He says, "My willing love did spur me forth." He follows, he nurses this young man back to health and then follows him to a city that he's been banished from, that just his Antonio's arrival in the city could prompt his immediate arrest. What other reason do you have to do something like that except for true love? So for me, it was just a way to highlight that story that I felt was definitely already there and illuminate it further.
And did you feel, Nikki, that you were in the company with as diverse as this cast was in so many ways, breaking stereotypes for New York audiences?
I think so, and for myself too. I think I could get emotional about it, and I'll try not to, but this is probably the single greatest, you know, experience and process of my career. It reminds me why I wanted to come to the theater. It also, as a person who's lived in New York for a very long time and loves New York City and loves the diversity, what I realize is that we can all do more. Just because I have a group of friends who come from different colors, that doesn't mean that I have, like, exercised all of what New York has to offer. And when I'm in a rehearsal room sitting next to someone who, you know, is from a place or has experiences that I can't even fathom, and to be able to come together to create something that is, I think, beautiful, has been a singular experience.
And in that context, Shana, typically the public puts on these community-based public work shows, mm-hmm. that include community group actors over Labor Day weekend, and I believe this is the first one to share top billing as one of the main two Shakespeare in the Park plays this summer.
And I'm so thrilled by that, because I think one of the values of the program is true artistic rigor and excellence and holding it to the same standard as any other production that the Public Theater would put on. You know, that not only is it this incredible inclusive experience, but that there's virtuosity and artistic and creative virtuosity in our community, even if they don't do theater on a full-time basis. And so it feels just so empowering for the community, for all of us in the show, to get to sort of be in that slot.
Can you talk about the process of creating this public works production and working with community groups? There were so many people on stage for so much of the play. I was thinking, oh my goodness, how do they even rehearse this?
It's sort of, I mean, I've never been a part of the Olympics opening ceremonies, but it sort of feels like it must be something like that. It's just a real amazing team effort. And they're that goes into it, this sort of beautiful collective human effort that happens of the choreography team is tracking everyone's entrances and exits, and the music team is figuring out who sings what, and the directing team, each team has like 8 people on it. You know, the stage management team is like an army of 12.
Oh, it's wonderful. And the other thing is you only got to see half of our community ensemble. So mm-hmm. we split. So collectively, we're even twice as big.
Yeah.
This is what Shana was saying a second ago. There's a red team and a blue team.
Absolutely.
And they alternate nights.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. So in the rehearsal room, as we were building this, we were all together, both red and the blue team. And then we have the purple team in the middle. Those are the people who perform every night. And so we're even en masse, like a mass bigger than what you saw last night. It's wonderful. unusual.
And what's that like for you as an actor to work with two different sets of performers?
Oh, it keeps you very much alive. And you have to be you cannot take for granted that the person you're going to turn to and see is the same person you saw last night. And also what's really fun is you build different relationships, even though there are the same character, you know, the same characters, the lines are the same, but a different person. And so you realize you build a very different sort of rapport with each cast. It's
and
wonderful.
Another kind of progressive thing about this is that there was signing for the deaf.
Mm-hmm.
What was that like learning, you know, sort of the choreography and the acting around that for you, Nikki?
Yeah, we're speaking in four or five different languages, if really, you know, we're doing Shakespearean text, which is not, you know, 21st century language. And then we're also doing this speaking through song, which is its own magic mm-hmm. thing. And then we're dancing, physical movement, and then we're adding sign on top of it.
Right. And I should say, for people who don't quite get this reference,
oh, sure.
if they think of signing as something that usually one separate person does at the side of the stage or something like that for the whole play, this is the actors signing their lines as they're saying them.
Yeah, seamlessly integrated, or hopefully seamlessly integrated. And so we have a number of deaf cast members, and we also have a team of people from New York Deaf Theater who've been working with us to teach us and to help us understand deaf culture. It's really magical. My fingers are getting pretty good.
Yes, Nikki's awesome.
And in the group, you know, chorus scenes, sometimes it's like this whole choreographed thing with people's hands when multiple
mm-hmm.
people are signing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's
really it's
beautiful.
Exciting.
The public theater has also become a center for the resistance, if you will, to the Trump administration's policies on some level. And Shana, I see you'll be on stage at the Delacorte on your day off on Monday as part of something called We Rise, a Celebration of Resistance. And Shakespeare's Illyria, the city in Twelfth Night, feels very much like it's a place that says, you know, like, hey, Trump advisor Stephen Miller, you might not want to spend a lot of time here where we're all celebrating each other. Is that part of your mission with this production?
Well, to me, it's just standing for the values that we hold dear of inclusion, and that everyone has a voice and everyone has a place. And I'm paraphrasing the writer Rebecca Solnit here, but she talks about how, you know, in a climate where politics can threaten to divide us and use fear to tear us apart, joy is a fine act of insurrection. And just the idea of that just to sing and dance together in a joyful way on that stage is a political act and a radical act. And to me, it's also to sort of, you know, now Michelle Obama, like, when they go low, we go high, is that we're representing what we stand for, you know, and that there are values that we can all hold dear that sort of, to me, transcend politics. And one of the dangers of this time is that they're politicizing basic American values that I think that we're just trying to underscore with our presence all together in the park.
And so, Nikki, to some degree, we can laugh and sing and dance our way to political change?
Sure. I think we can. That's part of it. We can also read and educate. But I also think the other thing that we're doing is we're communicating with each other. We're really talking with people who are from different backgrounds as well. And we're inviting people to say, this is us. This is what we stand for. This is what we believe in. And I do think that there are the changes that we can make every single day in our own personal lives that will create ripples.
Oh, sorry.
No,
go ahead. I was just going to say, it's also the notion of proximity is really important to me. Dorea McKesson talks a lot about this, who I'm inspired by. Like
from Black Lives Matter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That the idea that it's one thing, in theory, the values of inclusion, to be like, yes, I want to be inclusive, but to actually have proximity to people who are different than you and
Absolutely.
Have an actual experience live in real time with them makes a difference in how you perceive the world. And so for me, what I love about this program is that it really walks the walk.
I've read that this production will be staged in London by your co-creator and the show's co-director, Kwame Kwe Arma, where London-based community groups will be involved. That's great. Could this show with an amateur cast of this size maybe even be staged on Broadway? The public has given birth to some very successful future Broadway shows, Hamilton included.
Yeah, well, who knows? I hope the show has a long life in different ways. And what I hope can happen with it is that, you know, we do it with hundreds of people in the park, but that it could also really work with 10 middle schoolers in a auditorium in a middle school in Wisconsin. You know, like, it could, I want this show doesn't need a bunch of people and all the bells and whistles of the Delacorte to work. And so I hope that these adaptations can live on professionally and an amateur for a long time.
Nikki, did I see you crossing your fingers? Like, I hope.
Oh, I mean, I just hope as many people as possible both see what we're doing in the public works, you know, model, and also, aside from that, I think Shana has written an incredible musical. And so I would love for lots and lots of people to get to see it for a very long time.
And you were in that production of Julius Caesar last summer, Nikki, right? Where Caesar and his family bore resemblances to the Trumps?
Yes, I was.
And that provoked a very different response from audiences and some critics, because it seemed like there was an assassination that some people accused of condoning such.
Sure. That was a very interesting experience and process. And I think it was really fascinating just the what we were trying to do and how it's being interpreted, how it was interpreted, and how different they felt and how disparate that was. And also a little radical, and I feel like I turned into an accidental activist by just doing a play that I think is brilliant and beautiful. So
brilliant and beautiful. And where will we see you next, Nikki?
Well, so first thing I'm going to do after we close the show is get married, and after that I'm going to be in a new television show for Fox. So I'm doing that.
And you're working, Shana, with Elton John on a show?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the musical version of The Devil Wears Prada.
Whoa.
That's really exciting.
All right. Yeah. Well, we will have to leave that as the last word. Nikki M. James, starring as Viola in the show's Feste. Shana Taub, who wrote the music and lyrics and co-created this musical version of Twelfth Night. If you listeners want to visit Elyria, there are 9 more chances before it closes on Sunday, August 19th. Line up in Central Park, take your chances in the online lottery, or check out other ways to get tickets on our website or at publictheater.org. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And Brian Lehrer on WNYC saying have a good weekend, and I'll leave you with one more taste of the music from this brilliant 12th Night. Here we go.